you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to another episode of Nerd Up. This week, we got Dalton Anthony.
Yo.
Nasa Gray.
Yes.
Now I'm your host, Jesse Kimball. Dalton was jealous of all of the praise we got last week when he wasn't here, so...
Not until I found out how it was received, because I thought it was really weird to see that on Twitter.
No, it was because a great show. Jesse and I have a great dynamic.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, I know. You guys are
phenomenal back and forth.
You guys definitely wouldn't, like, skew the people
How
listening.
Could we have done that?
I don't know. I didn't listen to the show, because I wasn't on it, so it was obviously garbage. Mm-hmm. But to find that Zane Laney loved it so much.
A bunch of people said it was the best show they had heard in a while.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Facebook doesn't lie. You can't post it on the internet if it's not true.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, people don't just go on the internet and tell lies.
Zane, you broke my heart.
I need
you to know
that. Illegal.
All right. Kung Fu Hustle 2 was announced by Stephen Chow. I'm so excited about this movie, guys. Kung Fu Hustle is one of my favorite, like, of those cheesy Kung Fu movies of all time.
Isn't that one, like, actively, like, yes. satirizing, like, so it's, okay.
It's the cabin in the woods of Kung Fu movies.
Yeah, because it's also, like, at the same time as, like, you know, being satire and everything, it's also really good. And the fight scenes are incredible. Like, oh, I love that movie. Have either of you seen it?
I saw it in high school, but it's...
I might have.
It was...
Yeah, not to be confused with Kung Pao.
No,
Into the Fist. I just want to make sure.
Oh, the guy that kind of looks like Fonzie?
I don't
Henry Winkler. That guy looks a lot like Henry Winkler. Like, look at the poster. You're like, they got a time machine for him.
Anyway, yeah, no, Kung Pao, Enter the Fist, I did not like. But Kung Fu Hustle, that's a phenomenal movie. All right, so I won't talk anymore about that, though.
No, you're allowed to talk if it's something you like.
There's nothing else to say.
Okay, got
Other
it.
Than you're just really excited that
I'm
there's
so
another
excited
one.
About it.
All right, cool.
Do we have, like, a time frame or anything?
Nope. Yeah, it's just been confirmed that it's happening. And me and Trevor Camp are really, 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 really excited about it. Because he shares my feelings towards the first movie. Batman and TMNT crossover animated movie is coming.
Put it in Bruce Timm style, please.
They're not.
It looks cool.
Yeah.
Like I like the art style that they went with. It vaguely reminds me of the 2000s TMNT cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
That was a little bit grittier.
Which I'm... If we're going to do a Batman TMNT crossover, like, I needs it to be gritty.
Well, especially if it is based on the... Because apparently, I don't know if they're doing the full story or if it's just, like, loosely based on, but it is based on that Tenny and the Fourth, that first crossover event.
If it looks like that, then that's fine. Or if it looks...
Well, it doesn't look like that, but that was a darker, little bit grittier story, so that animation style...
Is that what it looks like?
Yeah.
Okay. It's not horrible.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not super thrilled that they're going with, like, old school Batman with, like, the bright blue and yellow.
Yeah.
But, I'm still probably going to end up getting this one just because I really enjoyed that comic. Like, that story arc was really good.
Mm.
The second one was okay. Yeah, I know.
Donatello's face. Did you see
the
that?
Ditto.
Yeah.
Ditto is Donatello.
God, it is.
Yeah.
Ditto-tello.
Ditto-tello. Yeah, no, I'll certainly see it. Mm-hmm. Something I'm less certain I'm going to see. Frozen 2 got a teaser.
I still haven't seen it. Like, I haven't seen the teaser. I meant to watch that, but...
Oh, I haven't seen Frozen.
Really?
I've never seen Frozen.
It's really
good.
That's
surprising to me. Yeah, no, like, it's a solid film. Like, I didn't dislike it or anything.
It gets a lot of hate because it's very popular.
Yes.
And people just don't like... People enjoy not liking popular things. So
a person in particular.
No, I mean, that person is the internet.
Yeah, well.
Co-founder? Shannon Young? I'll say his name. I don't care.
I'm not even talking about Shannon, because Shannon, like...
Actually, I do think Shannon likes Frozen.
Yeah, because we talked about it on Wednesday, I think, and he's like, no, like, it was fine. It's just, there are two camps. Frozen is the best thing Disney has ever made, or Frozen is the worst Disney movie ever made. And there's very little in between, because... There were so many people who said it was the best one ever made that it got everyone's expectations up. And if they didn't absolutely love it, they're like, how can anyone think this is better than insert their favorite movie, Disney movie here?
A Bug's Life.
That was Pixar.
So was Frozen.
Mm-mm.
Nope.
Frozen was not Pixar.
Pixar has split from, like, Disney for a while now.
Yeah, Disney has their own... Well, I mean, Disney's still paying for the Pixar movies,
yeah.
But... No, Disney has their own animation studio that looks really similar to Pixar, mm-hmm. but...
Oh, yeah, yeah, because they got me on Wreck-It Ralph, because I thought Pixar was also Wreck-It Ralph, but
nope.
I was wrong.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, no, yeah, Lindsay very much corrected me on that.
Same thing with Frozen, Tangled...
Pretty much any of their movies in the last...
Well, they had Pixar did do Coco, I think.
Was that Pixar?
I think so.
I'm on it.
I don't know. Yeah. I know they didn't do Moana.
I'm on Frozen right now.
Moana, I'm pretty confident is Disney, but I think Coco was Pixar.
But either way, like Frozen is like it's a really good movie. Like I like it a lot. They kind of played with the. I think part of the reason that a lot of people don't like it though is because it really played with that like the love story trope.
Oh yeah.
Pretty heavily, which is a pretty major plot thing. So if you are planning on watching it, I won't get into it. But so I haven't seen the teaser for the second one. I probably won't see it in theaters. But once it gets on, I'm sure I will have access to the Disney streaming app by the time.
Oh yeah, almost certainly. I don't know. Basically, the teaser was really just, it's not even much of anything. Like it actually is a teaser. It's a little bit longer mm-hmm. of a teaser, but it is a teaser.
And I saw it was kind of playing with her being more of a superhero type story.
Also, yes, Coco was in fact a Pixar film. Huh. And I'm pretty sure, let me see, I think Inside Out was too.
I want to say Inside Out was
also a Pixar movie.
But then again, I've been wrong about half of these, so.
Yeah. But either way, let's move back.
The best back Pixar story. Movie ever, Toy Story.
I thought you were going to say A Bug's Life again
because
you
said that. Yeah, it is A Bug's Life. Never mind, I take that back.
Oh, my
Toy Story
God.
4 is coming out soon.
So, yeah, Frozen 2, the teaser was basically just
Yeah, where's all those
Elsa...
Bug Life sequels?
I don't want to talk
straight
about
it. Straight to Disney Channel?
Elsa was just out, like, on the sea trying to freeze waves and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That was about it.
Okay.
Like, That's the crossover movie we need, Moana and Frozen.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
The music they would make.
I'd be fine with that. Because I did like Moana better than Frozen. I loved Moana, though.
No, yeah, Moana is probably my favorite Disney movie now.
It'd be between that and Coco.
I still need to see Coco.
See, Moana's like the perfect movie, though. Like, there's really nothing I can say to like as a complaint to that movie.
Right?
Yeah.
So good. Mm-hmm. I have Coco. Like, you can borrow that. Or I think it's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix, yeah.
It's just one of those things. It's like every time I never have time to just sit and like watch a movie.
I always feel that way, too.
I don't have the attention span to sit and watch a movie.
Because I sit there, like...
Because there's so many other things I would, like... Especially if it doesn't immediately hook me. All I would be, like, I could be watching something else. I could be playing a game. There's so many comics, like, right there. Oh, hi, Reddit.
I'll end up watching... Like, I will say that I won't have time for a movie. And then I'll sit there and just watch, like, 7 episodes of King of the Hill.
Yeah.
I'm like, nah, I had time for a movie.
I forgot Community had the Blu-ray season come out. Like, the entire series is on Blu-ray now.
Yeah.
And I forgot that came out, so I'm ordering that soon on Best Buy. And now I'll have it on Blu-ray. Thought I watched it a lot before. Now I'll have it on commentary and everything again. Oh, it's going to be great. So great.
Jeez. All right. We also got that new Aladdin trailer, which gave us a look at Will Smith as Genie.
Man, everything about this teaser just... Like, maybe it's because I watched it on my phone. Like, maybe I need to see it, like, on my TV. But, like, it just felt like a April Fool's fan-made.
Nah, that's a little fair. Like, I watched it on, like, my computer monitor, which is pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And just, like, so, like, the music, other than, like, the music sounded great. Like, that score in the background sounded incredible. And, like, that alone might be enough for me to go see this. But everything, like, the costume design looked good, but, like, the shots and, I don't know, it just...
Most of it was fine. Like, really, my only problem was Genie.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he was blue and everything. Why does he have nipples?
See, and, like, I don't even care about that. It's just, the CGI was so bad. Like, I was hoping that when we saw that still last week, that I was like, okay, well, maybe it'll look better in motion. It doesn't. His face seems, like, almost disconnected.
A little bit,
to the rest of his body, and, like, the motions just seem so weird. And
yeah, I actually saw somebody do a mock-up of Genie without nipples.
Mm-hmm.
I actually liked it.
Like, so just, I love you to ask.
Something.
Is it the George Clooney bat suit? Like,
clearly, like, there's just something about it that's like, this is,
you can't
this,
get, you
it
can't,
ruins the aesthetic.
You can't get past the nipples.
I can't get past the nipples. And you're right, the face does look kind of weird, but I can almost like.
But you're so concerned about the nipples.
Why does he have nipples?
I love you to death. This is literally the weirdest hang up.
It really is.
And like, honestly, because like we have been doing this show for so long. We have dealt with giant sized turtles. We have dealt with cyborg looking like PS2 graphics. You are so hung up on these nipples.
Oh, I didn't like those things either.
What I'm saying is, like, this is the weirdest one. Like, the other ones I'm fine with. Like, I can get past that. But, like, this is, like, Jesse, I think you are being too nitpicky. Or, in this case, nipple picky. Like,
it makes me wonder, you have them, right? Like, you know they're on men, too.
I'm aware.
Okay.
But he's a genie. The original genie didn't have them.
It was a cartoon. That would have been creepy. Somebody would have had to draw those.
You're saying it's not creepy here?
I mean, they probably had to draw these on just digitally.
Yeah. I don't think those are actually Will Smith's nipples.
We need to go watch Suicide Squad again.
Was he shirtless in that?
I'm sure he was at one point.
Probably.
It's a DCU movie. DCEU movie. There was at one point he was shirtless.
I don't think
Worlds
that's true.
Of DC movie.
Oh, thank you. I got correct.
Yeah, they quit with the DCEU.
See, that's an I love DC, and I can't keep up with their stupid stuff.
Did you see that Ben Affleck was on Jimmy Kimmel show and, like, officially announced he's retiring from Batman?
No.
Yeah, that happened last night or the night before or something.
It's all the stupid stuff happening in the world. We don't deserve them.
Yeah, it's true. So, yeah, Aladdin happened. Like, I don't think the genie looks that bad. Like, it looked better in motion, and everything else looked great. Like, I was fine with everything except for just there was a lot of weirdness with genie.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, like, once the actual movie comes out and I see it, like, I'll be okay with it, but...
See, the thing of it is, like, so I know, like, Aladdin's, like, your favorite animated Disney movie.
From the 90s, yes.
From the 90s, yeah.
Between that and Hercules.
Which, like, fair. Like, Aladdin was the one that I still don't think I've seen it, a complete run of it. Like, I've seen bits and pieces, but I don't think I've watched it entirely, like, at one point.
That shocks me.
But it's because I was such a Lion King person.
You need to get your stuff together.
I know, right? But, so, like, this movie didn't make me want to see it any more or any less. I don't think Genie was horrible. And maybe it's, like, they're playing to somebody that's just never watched the movie before. Because at that point, like, I am, like, the most outlier person of our age group that hasn't seen it. It's just, like, I mean, it looks okay. Like, it looks on par with Beauty and the Beast.
I don't know. Yeah, basically, because I don't think it looks on par with Beauty and the Beast. And I think that's one of my hang-ups with it. Because Beauty and the Beast was beautiful. Mm-hmm. Like, the CG in that was fantastic. And same thing with Jungle Book.
The only thing they have to do in CG, like, the only real thing in CG they have to do in this is Genie, right? Whereas, like, Beauty and the Beast, they had so much CG.
They're going to have some other CG stuff to do in this. We've got...
You have, like, the... a palace run and all that stuff that they're going to have to do.
Yeah. And on top of that, they're on a magic flying carpet for a significant portion of the film.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. And they've got Abu and, yeah, no, there's going to be a lot of CG.
See,
happening.
Kingdom Hearts has ruined my opinion on so many of these movies. So I'm like, yeah, no, I know what vaguely happens in this movie.
you need to actually watch that movie. Aladdin's
where's Sora?
A wonderful film. All right. Hulu is getting 4 new animated Marvel shows. Huh. And a special called Offenders. MODOK is going to be one of the shows. Tigra and Dazzler, which is going to be another show. Which, that one interests me. Because Dazzler is obviously a mutant. So.
Oh, well, the deal's been through, hasn't it?
Well, it has. But this would be the first thing, like, if Disney is on board with this.
It'd be the first mutant.
We need the only mutant that's not a complete murdering psychopath. Dazzler.
Wow, that's easy there, Trask.
I said what it meant.
Are they still racist if they hate mutants? They have a different name for them in X-Men comics.
They've called them so many different things.
Right? I think racist still works.
Yeah.
Anyway, Hitmonkey and Howard the Duck are the 4 shows. Howard the Duck is actually being executive produced by Kevin Smith. So that could be interesting.
Yeah, this whole thing is
interesting. I'm not interested in any of these shows. I'll probably watch Howard the Duck. I'll probably watch all of them. I don't know what I'm talking about. Like, it's going to happen. But.
Yeah. I mean, I'm interested in the MODOK one because I think MODOK's an interesting character. It just kind of bums me out that I now I'm pretty sure that we're not going to get an MCU MODOK.
We could still, because these are all animated. And this wouldn't be the first time Disney's done something animated that's unrelated entirely to the MCU, which this, they haven't confirmed that this is going to be in the MCU.
I guess that's true.
Because you had, like, Disney did the Marvel Rising cartoon, and that one had a bunch of characters that are not in the MCU. And some that were. Because that one had, in addition to Quake and Captain Marvel, who obviously are mm-hmm. in the MCU, that one also had Kamala
that's
Khan,
generous.
Squirrel Girl. Well, yeah, fair. Yeah, Kamala Khan, Squirrel Girl, and ghost spider.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, Gwen Stacy. So,
yeah. Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I just, I'm starting to give up hope that we're never going to get, AIM is never going to get the love it deserves, which is a moderate amount.
Yeah.
Like, I understand.
They are, I don't think they'll ever get a movie, because they're usually, AIM is like the C-list.
Yeah,
they occasionally,
but
like pop up with something really good, and then they just die back down.
See, and that's what I'm saying. That's a one movie. Like, that is a movie arc, especially with how they, but I have little confidence they'll do it, because it's probably going to end up in a season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I could see that.
Which, boo.
Easy.
No, I said what's said.
Easy.
I kind of feel like, I will say my biggest criticism of the MCU is how I think that they fumbled Hydra.
Oh, yeah, by putting that all
we
in.
We got one movie.
Yeah.
Instead of, and we got one movie and then the season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah. In fairness, we could also still get, like, Red Skull could come back and so could Zemo. So, I mean, we could get another Hydra uprising. We just won't have the same infiltration story that we had already.
And, like, I don't know. Because Zemo, like, we've gotten Zemo.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think he's going to come back as a member of Hydra, because that's not just, like, he was not a
Hydra
person. Yeah, he was just a, like, his family was taken from him, so.
Hydra could recruit him, pull him out of jail. Like, he's the guy that
almost
beat the Avengers.
I don't want him to turn into comic Zemo.
Oh,
that wouldn't make sense
movie.
To me.
That was such a good movie.
I think it could. Like I said, he's currently incarcerated completely. Like, they are likely doing all sorts of terrible things to him. He gets freed up by Hydra. No. They recruit him, and then they turn him
into a super soldier. Like, I
don't think they would turn him into a super soldier or anything.
I mean, they would need to if they're like. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't want to see him turn into comic book Zemo. Like,
I know Zemo was a super soldier.
Yeah.
How do you think he was able to hang?
Yeah, he was as old as Cap. Like, they fought in World War II.
Yeah.
I just want that scene. I want that a post-credit scene before that movie of just Zemo in the prison cell. And somebody from Hydra's just like, purple and fur.
I was about to say the purple.
Because like, he had that busted version of the super soldier serum. Because it melted his costume to his face and stuff.
Yeah.
Because they like to play with that trope a lot.
Because that's why the mask was loose, but the rest of the suit was skin tight, because that mask was just kind of barely there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, well, it was completely on there, but it wasn't hanging through the rest of the suit.
Yeah, I just don't remember that much lore about Zemo, I guess.
He's an interesting
character. Maybe that's how he got taken out. Is it burned him away? Because that...
I don't know.
I don't remember.
I don't know that
but
much.
But no, he was a super soldier, and he very much like was from World War II, and then the soldier serum that Hydra was using is the same one that kept him and Red Skull.
Yeah. I mean, and they could just...
Alive, and... So yeah,
like, I
know
Red
that's
Skull
what I'm saying.
Obviously
like,
was a super soldier.
I don't... Between what we got in Infinity War, I don't think if Red Skull comes back, he's not going to just restart Hydra at this point. They have clearly put him in the cosmic level...
Yeah. Or at least some kind of representation of him.
Yeah, and then, like I said, I don't want to see them do that with Zemo. So I'm just, that's my one, again, MCU has been killing it. They have not made a bad movie, especially after...
Civil War?
No, well, Winter I mean, Soldier. After Civil War, but even, like, well before that. Like, other than, like, the first Thor and the first Captain America, like, those were good movies, but
I love the first Captain America.
I just didn't like them as much, but... But, like, so they've done great. It's just that's my one, like, oh, man, I kind of feel like they dropped the ball with Hydra.
Yeah, no, like I said, there's a lot of ways they could bring them back. I think it would be fine.
Yeah, but, they can't do big organizations. They can do supervillains perfectly.
Yeah, they do amazing, like, individual stories.
Because,
when you get those organizations and stuff, that's really best done in TV, in my opinion.
Yeah, because you have seasons, you can do it overarching, stuff like that.
That's way harder to do in, like, a movie to make people actually care about that organization. But anyway, we need to move on.
James
here,
Bond would disagree, but okay.
We got that. We got that Nintendo Direct to talk about. So we gotta push through here. Transformers anime prequel series has been announced for Netflix coming in 2020. Looks like Rooster Teeth is working on this one, and it will be about the war for Cybertron.
Is Rooster Teeth the one who do that one anime that like you and Mandy really like?
Jewel,
not Jewel. Ruby. And I would hesitate to say that either of us really like it. We were really excited about it before it came out, and then it released, and the animation, like, the fight scenes were great. The regular animation going through it, they would be, like, sitting at desks, and their arms would be, like, clipping. Like, it looked like a low-grade video game. Their arms would be clipping through the desk or whatever they were holding. One time they had tried to have somebody pick up a cup of coffee and take a drink of it.
Uh-oh.
Ooh, that was awful.
Yikes.
It looked bad. Like, it looked like a decent cinematic for an N64 game.
But that was Rooster Teeth.
Yes, that was Rooster
Teeth.
Okay. Yeah.
Hell yeah. Sounds awesome.
They also did Red versus Blue, the right. Halo series.
But that was all done through the Machinima engine.
Yeah, well, they eventually, because at first it was just done straight up in-game.
Yeah.
And then they ended up giving Rooster Teeth, like Microsoft gave Rooster Teeth character models and everything for, like, character models and the engine so they could do their own animation stuff.
There was at the V-Stock, one of the V-Stocks in St. Louis, yesterday, they had, like, the entire series on Blu-ray of Red versus Blue. Thought about it. Then saw $90, thought about it again, decided against it.
Oh, yeah, $90 now. That's
That's
it's
silly.
All on YouTube.
I'm assuming there were some really good behind-the-scenes features.
Boy, I'd hope so. All right, and then I'll take a second. I saw Alita Battle Angel this weekend, and I want to take a second to talk about that. I think that it is a solid matinee. The action scenes were great. Like, the CG looked great. I personally enjoyed it, and I think that I wouldn't have cared about paying full price. I saw it in matinee, but I know, like, when it comes to, like, the cyberpunk post-apocalyptic stuff or dystopian future stuff, I'm a lot easier to please than most.
Mm-hmm.
But if that is your jam, I think you will enjoy the crap out of this movie. There's some pacing stuff that was a little wonky because they did some time skips and they didn't make it completely clear that it was skipping time. But it wasn't like significant time skips. It's just, you know, here and there. Also, like, I feel like there was a relationship in the movie that they rushed made it look like it was something way more than what it probably should have been and the time elapsed. But other than that,
bless you.
I loved it. Like, there's a lot of action to the movie. Like, the love subplot was minor for the most part, like, played a part in the story, but but the action, holy crap. That robot girl just beating the crap out of everybody. Fantastic. So, yeah, solid matinee. Next portion of our podcast brought to you by Villainous Grounds. Stop by there for all of your comic book needs in Perryville, Missouri. Best comic shop in Southeast Missouri.
When are we going up? Because we missed Friday because of the weather.
Yeah.
I had a great comic book week. They emptied my pool box. One book.
Oh, boy.
No. They have, like, three action figure sets coming for me, though. So, like, they're getting their money out of me soon.
Yeah, no, we need to schedule that trip up there.
I'm free Friday?
We are not.
Friday? Anthem. You are not free on Friday.
Oh, never mind. I'm not free on Friday.
I'm about to say, you playing Anthem with us.
Yep.
But anyway, Savage Avengers. It's the newest Avengers team. It's not really an Avengers team. Apparently, it's going to be it's not an ongoing, but they didn't say how many issues it's going to be of a group of deadly Marvel characters in the Savage Land. Right. And they find Conan the Barbarian. I don't know why Marvel's pushing Conan so hard. I know, like, they recently, or I say recently, is like it's been over a year now that they acquired the rights to Conan the Barbarian from Dark Horse. But I don't get what the push is. The team, honestly, kind of cool. We got Venom, Punisher, Wolverine, Elektra, Brother Voodoo. And they find Conan the Barbarian in the Savage Land.
I kind of like Brother Voodoo a lot.
Brother Voodoo's cool.
Yeah. He's an interesting character. And it's worth clarifying, I think, that this is the new Venom.
It's Eddie,
like,
Brock.
Yeah, it's Eddie Brock. It's where we've moved away from Agent Venom.
Yeah, we've been out of Agent Venom for a while.
For a while now, yeah.
Yeah. For a really long time now, like over a year, I think. Anyway, which in comic book time.
Well, because they just kind of, like, retweaked his backstory. Like, Venom got a new creative team, like, not super long ago.
Yeah,
like, it's only been a few months. But then they're kind of, like, they went into, he kind of, not redid, but expanded on the Clintars' whole history and stuff
like
that.
It was the Donnie Cates story that, like, on paper sounds ridiculous, but apparently is phenomenal. Like, it's being nominated for awards
and
stuff.
At this point, it's like 90% of Marvel.
Right?
Just this, okay, yeah, if you're listening to the summary, it sounds just insane.
But when you're reading it in time, like, you're like, okay, no, this is kind of cool. And apparently that's, like, everything Donnie Cates does. Like, it's, like, you put it on paper, like, in a summary, and it sounds absolutely ridiculous. But then, like, I guess he's some kind of all-star and just knocks it out of the park. Because Immortal Hulk is also was also up for some awards.
Yeah.
And that one's Donny Cates as well. But anyway. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't understand the push for Conan the Barbarian, but this could be really interesting. The article mentioned there's going to be in the interview they did with the writer, there's going to be a whole lot of, like, because obviously Conan is now being introduced to these, like, characters, like, nothing like he's ever seen before. And, you know, he sees Venom. He thinks Venom is a genie.
Does he have nipples?
No.
He's a correct genie then.
He thinks Wolverine is like some other like race of people from his land.
From the land of Pabst.
That's the most bro-y thing you could say to me, so that checks out.
Are you happy that I don't ever read anything during the week? So like, just get my actual reactions?
I mean, it would be nice if you researched some stuff, but, you know, it's whatever.
Pabst.
Yeah, the land of Pabst.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so, like, it could be that part of it, like, I think would be interesting. And they said there's a lot of fun interactions with Conan and the rest of these people because, again, like, all of these people are, you know, everything about them is new to Conan. Like, he's never seen guns before, much less superpowered, like, people.
Is there a gun guy on that team?
Punisher.
Punisher, thank you. I didn't know if he was in it or not. I forgot the lineup. There's a lot of people.
I was about to say.
Because, like,
just said it.
Brother Voodoo would be the one that I'd be like, what the heck?
I mean, in fairness, like, there's magic in Conan's land, I'm pretty sure.
That's true. A lot of people painted on skulls. I like Brother Voodoo a lot. That's the one that I'm like, that's going to be the hook that gets me in there.
Yeah, and then
the C-list character on the team is the one that I'm excited about.
The one people saw on the cover, like, who that?
Yeah.
But anyway. I don't know. I'll probably end up picking up at least issue one. That one's hitting May 2019. So if you guys are interested in that book, check it out. At the very least, I really like Mike Deodato's art, so that could help it a whole lot. All right, next portion of our podcast brought to you by our friends Josh and Alan of Press Start to Join. You can find all of their content at ps2jshow.com, including all of their social media links. Last Wednesday of every month is a new History of Gaming episode. I highly recommend checking those out.
That's coming up this week.
Ooh, what are they doing?
I don't know.
Oh, well.
I am a patron, and I need to pay more attention to them. I just like them so much that I'm just like, here's money. Go create stuff. Have fun.
Fair enough.
Well, also, if it's Patreon exclusive, if they haven't announced it yet, then you definitely shouldn't say it.
Correct.
I don't know it regardless, so.
But anyway, so Hollow Knight. It's getting a sequel, Silk Song. It's going to feature one of the characters from the original Hollow Knight game. You're going to be playing as her this time around. Looks like there's a whole bunch of new monsters, new levels. The gameplay will be a bit different because she just plays differently.
This was originally supposed to be DLC, but as they were working on it, they realized it's too big to just be DLC because this was one of the stretch goals for the original Hollow Knight campaign.
Gotcha. So yeah, it looks super pretty. Mm-hmm. I still need to beat the first Hollow Knight.
I've given up on it. Like, I know it's been so long and I was so lost. Like, if I beat that game, it's going to have to be like, I will have to restart it. And I just don't have the heart for it.
I got stuck in a part that I'm having a lot of trouble beating. And I have not tried it since then.
Mm-hmm.
But I know, like, with everything else that I've gotten stuck with in that game, if I just keep trying at it, eventually I'll get it. It's just this one I tried quite a bit on.
Yeah.
And it wasn't happening.
Mm-hmm.
It's very difficult. Part of this arena combat thing they're doing. But anyway, I really, really like the game, though. The aesthetic, the gameplay, like the controls, it's all super tight, super good. And I will need to beat it so I can play this one, because this one also looks really cool. A lot more like acrobatic kind of stuff going on because she's kind of flippy and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
It looks really fun.
We all know my ability with platformers. I'm garbage at them, so.
So I'm not going to touch this one from Dalton.
And did you mention that this is they're doing the...
Kickstarter
thing? Yeah, because that's awesome.
Yeah, if you were one of the original Kickstarters for Hollow Knight...
At a certain level,
if you had reached a certain level with your Kickstarter, then you get the game for free.
That's awesome.
Yeah, because since it was originally a stretch goal.
Yeah.
That's now being turned into another whole full release.
Which is awesome, which I think most people, like, as I think the tier was only, like, if you paid enough money to get the game.
Yeah, which I think was only, like, $10.
Yeah, it was, like, $10-$20, somewhere in that range.
Mm-hmm.
If you paid enough money to get the game, then you will get this one as well, which is awesome. Like, good on Cherry Games, I think.
Like, yeah, Cherry Bomb.
Cherry? No, I don't think it's Cherry Bomb.
I'm on it.
Might be. Mm, I should have written that down.
I'm getting it.
All right. Well, he's looking that up. Asa, you want to talk about Crackdown 3 for just a second?
Not really.
All right, Anthem.
Yeah, it came out on Friday. And
Team Cherry.
Team Cherry. Team Cherry. That's okay. What it was. Crackdown 3 came out on Friday, and
it sure did.
It's a game that came out, and honestly, it's not a bad game, but for how long we've had to wait for it, I'm just so disappointed. Really, like the first game was so much fun and so great, and then the second game happened, and it was like, okay, no, they learned their lesson. They're gonna give us something more, and it's just. And granted, I'm only a couple hours in, so. The story is super basic. Evil Corporation has taken over the city. Go do these like series of six things multiple times to draw out the lieutenants, to beat the lieutenant, to eventually weaken the corporation. And it's just, it's very repetitive. You still get those sweet, sweet orb dopamine drips.
Mm.
And like, as you progress, like, yes, the movement in the beginning feels very, not
clunky.
Fun. Yeah, it's so clunky because there's no sprint button. So when you click what is normally a sprint button, you just do like a dodge roll.
I don't like that.
Yeah. But as you start, okay, then you get your double jump and then you get your, okay, now you can dash in the air. So stuff like the more it's the Crackdown loop of the more you play it, the better mobility you get and like the more fun you'll have with it. And like you said the other day when I was talking about it, where it's, well, maybe it's just we don't spend as much time, like we don't remember that initial clunkiness from the first Crackdown because it was quickly replaced by, you know, just being a superhero jumping around the city.
Right. You grab those agility orbs and suddenly, you know, you're mm-hmm. leaping tall buildings in a single bound.
Right. there's a lot. I've run into quite a few technical issues of like animations being real jittery and clunky.
Mm.
It's not as pretty as you would want it to be in 2019. It's got a lot. There's only a handful of like citizen voice lines that get real repetitive. And again, I'm only a few hours in, so maybe as I go into new areas that changes, but I kind of get the feeling that it's not going to.
Yeah.
But, and then also the shooting is really lame. You don't just aim with left trigger, it automatically locks onto a target for you. And then you just pull the right trigger to shoot until the thing dies.
Yeah,
And then you have to upgrade your shooting abilities before you can pick targets. So, like, when you first play the game, you just hold left trigger and it just locks onto the enemy and you shoot at it. Whenever you get your first upgrade for your gun, then you can, if you click the right stick up, then it'll lock onto the head or the arm or the leg or wherever you actually want to shoot the enemy. Nice. Not guaranteed hits, it's just that's where you're aiming. Yeah, so it's, but like there's a cool, like I've run into a pretty decent variety of the weapons so far. Some of those are actually really neat and fun to play with.
Mm-hmm.
And you can swap those out just by going back to like one of the home bases and then like restocks all your ammo and health and stuff.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
I have not done much of the driving, but from the very little I have done, it's awful.
Yeah,
so,
which in just, fairness, I do not remember the driving being any good. And,
yeah, at all. It's just one of those things where it's like, man, they've been working on this for so long. I would have really hoped that
they could have gotten us something good.
Yeah, that this wouldn't just be like a six.
Yep. Now compare that to Anthem. This is a game they've
been
working
on.
Yeah, I know, right? Like, this is terrible timing for Crackdown. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you compare it to a game like Anthem, a game that they've been working on for like 7 years. It's been in development for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And Asa and I decided to, I had a free pass for EA Access. Asa paid the $5 for EA Access so we could play the game a week early. We get 10 hours of gameplay. And oh my. Like the beta was, or the demo rather, that they let us play was definitely an older version.
Yeah.
Because the game we're playing is absolutely stunning. Like, mm-hmm. everything about it, like, it's gorgeous, like, all the game, like, the flying feels even smoother now, especially the transitions underwater feel really solid, like, you can run around in the fort.
Yeah, you move so much faster.
Yeah.
Which is real nice.
All of the characters that we've encountered so far, actually feel like real people and real characters, and I'm already like growing attached to a couple of them. Mm-hmm. And Asa and I have only played the game for 3 hours.
Yeah, it's very much a BioWare game.
Yeah,
but like character wise, but then it has like a really fun combat is just ridiculously fun.
Oh yeah. Not like everything about like the shooting is really like the shooting feels really good. Like the upgrade system feels really good. Like how like all of the abilities feel awesome and make you feel awesome.
I will say like this very much isn't a perfect game. I don't know if it bothered you at all, but it felt like the load times were so long.
There were a couple of times where the load times were kind of ridiculous.
And, like, having to load, like, hit that load screen going, like, into a cave and stuff. Yeah. Or, like, anytime you transition into a new area in a level was a bummer. Because we're so used to that just seamless transition. Like, look at Spider-Man or God of War or stuff like that where those are non-existent.
Yeah, because there's a couple of parts where you do have to go through a loading screen and, like, Spider-Man and stuff like that. Like, when you go into buildings usually...
Yeah, but like that's.
But even that wasn't like quite as. Because these were pretty long.
Yeah, and those were pretty brief too. But yeah, and then also like, I'm not a huge fan of how. Like, I get this just this type of game. I really wish there was like a firing range where you could test out
different types of guns.
The different types of weapons and abilities, because there are some abilities that I just do not like.
Yeah, I mean, you can. Because you can go to free play.
But then you have to try to find like an actual enemy and have to hunt that down, which we haven't done free play yet.
No.
But I'm assuming like some of those events will be in enemies will be easier to find than they were in the beta.
Yeah. Cause this is the full game. So we have full access to the map and everything else. We can fly around.
Mm-hmm.
And I did play it on PC. It was the load times were significantly more, what's the word I'm looking for? Tolerable with a PC, mostly because I have a solid state hard drive.
Yeah. And that's kind of a problem is that like one of the main game executives, Mike Gamble was like, well, if you're playing off an SSD, that's the way to go. And it's like, yeah, but
I can't put that on my Xbox.
Yeah, you shouldn't put that burden on your customers to have reasonable load times on a game.
Most PC gamers now have like upgraded to an SSD.
Right.
And that's what they're using because it's just like far and away the superior hard drive. And they're affordable now. Downside though with Xbox versus like PlayStation, you can't replace the hard drive in Xbox without like a really involved process.
Yeah. Did you notice a difference in the keyboard mouse controls for flight?
I used controls. Okay. Or I used a controller. Okay. I did because the first time I played it, like even in the demo, I used a controller because I figured I was going to be playing it on Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, this time I just played it on controller because I was like, I don't need the super precise movements and everything of a mouse and keyboard for this game. So I'm just going to keep using a controller because flying is way easier with a controller than a mouse and keyboard.
Yeah. But apparently that like was one of the things that even during the beta they said was going to get fixed.
Yeah, because I played with a bunch of people last night on PC and they were all using mouse and keyboard and said the flight felt really smooth and was really nice. So
that's good.
Yeah, apparently it is solid there as well. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that one I got talked into by my roommate to spend $15 to play on PC a week early. I don't think I'll be buying it on PC as well as Xbox, mm-hmm. but I might. Yeah,
especially with that new cross progression or...
Right, yeah, because even like last night, I was redoing the missions that we had already done on Xbox, and I was just like, skip, 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 skip. Like, you don't realize how many cinematics and dialogue there is until you do it a second time.
I mean, that intro mission, which was honestly a little lame, but it lasted a while.
It did last quite a while, mostly because it was all the... like this is how you control the game,
right? Yeah, it's all the basics. And it's like, well, you can't fly yet. We're not. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, don't, right now, just like get your double health jump. Back. Now you can double jump. Oh god, which would have been like, I'm sure that if that was our first interaction with a game, that would have been better. But since we had already gone through the demo and we figured out how to do all of that,
right? Because there was no tutorial in the beta.
Yeah, like at that point, it's just like, okay, no, I understand that you need this. Mm-hmm. It should have been in the demo probably, but regardless. I'm still really excited about the game.
I'm stoked to burn through the remaining 7 hours we have access for in a day.
Yes.
And then just pace back and forth like Cartman. in front of my copy until Friday when that finally comes out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. It's going to be a good day. I'm so excited for Friday.
I'm assuming they're not doing a midnight release.
Almost certainly not. But if they are, boy howdy.
I kind of think I might just risk it and just show up at like 8:30 and talk to someone like, hey, are you doing any sort of early release for Anthem?
Yeah, because apparently calling them on the phone is a bad idea.
Yeah, you can't call, because, well, you get sent to a call center.
Right.
So you can't actually talk to an employee. And also with Best Buy, you can't just talk to an employee in the store.
God, that's because so annoying.
Three people will tell you three different answers.
Yep.
And all three of those answers won't be what's on the sign about their upcoming events. And what's on the sign is different than what's on their website. Get your house in order. Best Buy.
They really need
you only to. Got, like, you got five more months of my business. Until my Gamers Club unlocked,
yeah, you need to
expires,
start,
and then I'm
start
hitting,
doing some improvements.
And then I'm hitting all digital, because I will say that's one cool thing that I noticed is yesterday I was able to bounce between, like, okay, I have my Assassin's Creed Odyssey disc is in. All right, I'll jump off of that and then end up playing some, I'll try some Crackdown. Okay, well, kind of done with Crackdown. Okay, now I'll just jump into some Apex Legends. And I didn't have to get up once.
Mm-hmm.
And now, in the digital future, if I have everything digital, because I don't know what it is, but like, that is my Sisyphus stone of having to get up and put it in, like, change discs.
Having it right there, though, available to you.
Oh, yeah, just hit a couple buttons. Mm.
Yeah. So anyway, Nintendo Direct. We got 20 minutes here. Let's talk about this Nintendo Direct. Because, holy crap, like, this was a half-hour Nintendo Direct. It was easily the most dense Nintendo Direct we've gotten in a while.
Well, I mean, this is the longest stretch of days that we've gone without a Direct.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
When was the last one, if you don't mind me
it's
asking?
It's like 100-something days ago.
Okay,
like 150,
thank you.
I think.
No. So let's just jump in here. Mario Maker 2 was confirmed. Showed off, confirmed, coming June 2019.
Way sooner than I was expecting.
Mm-hmm.
Super excited that not only are they announcing it, but they're announcing it, and like I said, yeah, it's coming out in June. Happy birthday to me. still within that Gamers Club Unlocked time frame for me, so big plus. Yeah, it looks awesome. I love Mario Maker, and I think that this one's going, not only is it going to be better because they're adding more things, but we're going to have way more options to play, because the Switch install base versus the Wii U's install base, it's just going to be insane.
Like, Mario Maker came out on the Wii U, and similar to Smash Brothers, like, that sold systems. Like, that was a huge jump in their system sales. And even then, like, it was still just never sold.
Yeah, it sold an extra 40 systems. It's pretty great. Which to be fair,
that's like a 200% increase.
Yeah, that's like a 3% drop jump. But my only request is that they separate those all the, like, autoplay levels.
Mm.
Like, you give us a tag or something.
Yeah, throw out an autoplay tag where it's just the ones where you just sit and go through it.
Yeah,
because those are really cool, and somebody put a lot of effort
into
it.
Yeah, and they are spectacles. But when I'm going through, like, the challenge mode,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to just be like, oh, well, here's two gimmies in a row, because
right.
Don't touch.
Yeah, don't touch, just watch.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, cool. Like, you put a lot of work into that. It was really neat. I'd like to just play some more Mario now, though.
Yeah.
That looked really cool. We got Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 Black Order gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
And, boy, that looks pretty. And I really hope that is good and, like, the three of us plus, you know, whoever
Shannon
else.
Will buy it. I know Shannon will buy it.
Yeah, Shannon almost said
Shannon
will
buy. I see. I don't know if Shannon will buy it. He might take one of those moral stances of, we didn't put Jubilee in.
No, we've already
talked about it.
Yeah, he said that, like, Jubilee, like, he knows that Jubilee's probably not going to happen. He's okay with that, but mm-hmm. there needs to be X-Men representation.
Which we know there
outside
is.
Outside of Wolverine and Storm.
Yeah.
Because those
but,
are
No,
the
that's what I'm saying
is,
like,
of.
If they don't put Cyclops in the game, he's probably not going to get it.
Yeah, if those are the only two mutants that are in the game, yeah, he's probably out.
Mm-hmm.
And Deadpool, I don't think will count for him.
No.
That gameplay, though, looked really good. And, yeah, being able to just sit there and do, like, the four of us on couch co-op, hopefully that works better than Smash Brothers did. But, that would be really, really cool. And I'd really like to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Box Boy and Box Girl was announced coming out April 26th, 2019. Nintendo is doing this thing that I really like, where they're holding off announcements until a couple months before it's going
to
happen.
Yeah.
Which is such a good way to do business.
Well,
I love it.
They've kind of talked about that on Kind of Funny quite a bit. It's like, that's why the whole, like, Metroid Prime 4 thing
mm-hmm.
was so out of left field. And that's why they're kind of, especially with one of the announcements we'll get to later, about how, like, okay, so, like, Metroid Prime 4 and Bayonetta 3 and there's one other game, I think, that they talked about. But, like, we haven't gotten any news on in a while, so that might not be a good sign.
Yeah. Because
this is that trend. Titles,
yeah, they'll throw out there with, like, you know, they usually will give us, this is in development, it's happening. If it's a huge thing like Metroid.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, like, you know, whenever we get an actual release date for Metroid, it will probably be a situation where it's like, it's coming in 3 months, guys, don't worry about it.
Yeah. Which, granted, that won't be for another couple of years because they had to restart it completely. But.
Yeah. But either way, like, that's the way they've been doing it, and I dig it. So, yeah, Box Boy, Box Girl. It's a fun little, like, puzzle platformer game. It's our sequel to a fun little puzzle platformer game. Coming out in April 26, 2019. Smash 3.0 update coming in spring.
Why did they even announce that?
I don't know. And apparently Joker will be available before the end of April.
Yeah.
Which I still need to buy the Smash Pass.
Yeah, I haven't bought it either. Yeah. Someone thought that they took a screen grab of, like, the blurred out Switch and pointed out, it's like, this could be a Mario Maker stage because it, like, took a screen from Mario Maker and then, like, lined it up underneath the, and you could see, like, there were lines matching up in certain spots. And so that'd be kind of cool. Yeah. People care a lot about these things.
They
and
really
that's
do.
Interesting.
Dig it,
but yeah,
because they put all these like neat little things inside the trailers too. Yeah. So,
but this overall was just a nothing announcement. Like they could have absolutely skipped this.
They could have just told us at some point, like in a tweet, like Joker will be out before
they,
April.
They gave
like,
us
by the end of April.
They announced the Yoshi release date in a tweet, like last week or something, 2 weeks ago.
So whatever. Like that's I was hoping we'd get the second character announcement.
Yeah,
if anything,
or Joker gameplay.
Yeah, one of the two. Captain Toad Treasure Tracker is getting a free update, adding co-op to all of the current missions.
Mm-hmm.
And they're getting a paid update, adding a bunch of extra missions, which will also have co-op and everything featured. Bloodstained Ritual of the Night is coming summer 2019 to the Switch. So get your Metroidvania fix here.
Okay.
This is very Castlevania-esque.
All right.
This is the one, I think, that's from the original creator of Castlevania.
Yeah. The blood, yeah, because there's already a Bloodstained game out, I think.
It was a stretch goal for this Kickstarter. It's Curse of the Moon, I think.
I think that sounds right.
But it's actually on the free games. I played it quite a bit on Xbox because it's this month's game with gold.
Oh, there you go.
And it's fun. It's really cool. But it is a Nintendo. It's like an 8-bit, whereas the Bloodstained coming out is 16-bit.
Yeah, no, it looks. I thought it was higher than that.
I mean,
it
probably
really
is,
pretty.
But like that, its original plan was it was going to be like a Super Nintendo styled, which I do think they completely like up-resed all the art and stuff. But then they also made this Bloodstained, which is like 8-bit, 16-bit, whatever.
Fair enough. Old school. So yeah, Ritual of the Night looks really pretty. Coming summer 2019, Dragon Quest Builders 2 coming July 12th, 2019. They're adding a local and online co-op. This is a game I didn't even know about until a friend of mine told me to try out the demo on Switch. Super fun. It's basically like a Minecraft style game, but with Dragon Quest characters and an actual story.
Mm-hmm.
Really fun game. Also, Dragon Quest, we got Dragon Quest XI is getting ported to the Switch. They will have one of the coolest things that come out of this announcement is the 16-bit mode.
Mm-hmm.
So the game looks super pretty anyway. You can switch it to like the old school Super Nintendo graphics and just play through this game that way.
Play it as a 16-bit style.
Yeah.
That is super cool. Dragon Quest is one of those games that always makes me question, that always makes me think, I could like a JRPG, but I never want to put that investment into either a time investment or a monetary investment because it's just not a genre that I dig, but I want to like it so much more.
Dragon Quest, like Chrono Trigger is probably the best one to try out if there's
a JRPG. And that's the thing is it's like I've been meaning to play Chrono Trigger for so long now, but I just,
it's really good.
There's new games out.
There are a lot of new games out. It's really hard to go back and play old ones. Okay, it's not a nothing announcement. Disney's Tsum Tsum game got announced. It's going to be not marketed towards
Lindsay
us.
Lindsay would yell at you if you said that.
Yeah,
she
no, I know
that.
For a fact she would yell at you.
I put it in the group chat, too. Like, me and Shannon actually put it in the same time. I was like, Lindsay already has this pre-ordered somehow, and Shannon's like, I'm definitely getting this for Lindsay. Like, we sent those messages simultaneously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, because, like, that. This is everything about this is right up Lindsay's alley. But, like I said, not marketed towards anybody here. It's going to be a bunch of puzzle games, a bunch of cutesy stuff. Like, it looks
Friendship
adorable.
Friendship Festival, whatever it is, yeah.
Yeah, it just, like I said, not marketed towards anyone here at this table.
Mm-hmm.
Starlink update is adding the other Star Fox pilots.
Hey, Asa.
Slippy, Peppy, and Falco. Yeah, it's just.
There's not ships for me to buy.
Yeah,
plus, they all just pilot the R-Wing anyway.
You say this like Asa's actually played the game. No, he just wants the ships.
Oh, fair enough.
I will play the game.
Eventually.
At some point.
Anthem comes out this week.
By the end of 2019, I will have played 2 hours of Starlink.
That's a stretch goal right there.
I'm going to need logged in information that that actually happens. I don't think that will.
All right.
Out of spite, I will bring it tonight.
Rune Factory 4 Special is coming late 2019. And then they confirmed that they're working on Rune Factory 5. So yeah, they're porting Rune Factory 4 over to the Switch. Yeah, working on the next one. We don't have any other information than, like, it's coming, guys. One of those kind of announcements. Oninaki gameplay. Looks like it's coming summer 2019. Yoshi's Crafted World demo is out now. The game itself is coming out March 29th, 2019. Mm-hmm. Fire Emblem Three Houses got pushed to July 26th. We got a little bit more information on that, like how it's going to play. The Avatar unit is a mercenary. Looks really similar to Ike's starting story, so I'm guessing your dad's going to die real quick in the game. Then they announced the way that's going to work with, like, you get to pick one of three houses. Looks like there's going to be a lot more micromanagey stuff to the game, which I don't know if I like yet, but I might, because Fire Emblem, like, they do things that I normally don't like, but I end up like, no, okay, this is kind of fun. I see where the appeal is. They announced the three houses that you can, one of three, I guess, you can align yourself with for this game, which means I'll probably have to play through the game three times, which I'm not entirely excited about, but at least they're not releasing. Yeah, you're right. But at least they're not releasing, like, they're not making me pay for three games this time like they did with Fates, because that bummed me out a whole lot.
Oh, yeah.
Because granted, they gave me discounts, but I still had to spend $80 on Fire Emblem.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Happily. You also need to say happily, because there was no issue of you, like, I mean, I know you were bummed out that you had to spend that much, but every time you hit that, like, pay now button, it was a smile.
I mean, I it was one of those things, like, I did it. Like, I just, I wasn't happy about
it. Well, and in fairness,
I did it.
I feel like if you look at it in the sense that you got two stories for the $60 purchase, and then $20 DLC for the third story. That's not unusual. Like, that's
true.
Not uncommon for
it's uncommon for handheld market.
Yeah.
But it makes sense for, like, you know, full game release style. Yeah.
It's not like you didn't, it's not like you got, you spent $80 and didn't feel like you got $80 worth of content.
No, I got $80 of the content, for sure. I was just bummed that I had to spend $80. Again, I did it.
Right.
Would do it again. Bummed that I had to.
See, because that's the funny thing, because, like, when it comes to the game series that I love, and it's like $80, and it's not even for extra stuff, like, this is just for extra physical stuff, like a flag with Woody and Buzz on it. Like, there was no, like, upset era of me being like, I'm really bummed out that I'm paying $80 for this. It's just like, take my money. Please. I need this.
I need all of it, please. Yeah. Please and thank you.
I wish I could like Fire Emblem more. I really do.
Oh, I love that game so much. That's
the genre that I am.
Yeah, like, it was, because it's a super awesome aesthetic. The games are beautiful, but, like, wish I could like it more.
That's fair. I also wish you guys could like it more, because the only person I have to really talk to about Fire Emblem is Ben Martin and a little bit of Calvin Hebert.
I thought Mandy liked him too.
I thought Steph liked him too.
Steph loved Awakening.
Okay, that's right.
Well, she liked Fates as well. And then, because those were her first two, she liked them. Then Mandy really, really liked a couple of them.
The GameCube one, right?
Yeah, the Path of Radiance. I think those are the only ones that she's played, though. She might have tried the first one. And she gave it a chance because Roy was one of her favorite characters in Smash Bros. But that one, she can't even play the game with Roy in it in the U.S. She can only play ports. With fan translations.
Man.
Because that game just never hit the U.S.
I hate video games sometimes.
Yeah, I know. I'm still excited about this game, though. Like, it looks really, really pretty. And there's a lot of new stuff with it. They announced Tetris 99. And it's available to play now.
That game is so intense looking. Yeah, I watched Shannon play it. And oh my god. Like, if I was good at those games, that would be my game of the year. Like, be like, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened.
Yeah, Nintendo basically is throwing their hat in the Battle Royale ring.
In the coolest way. Yeah, like,
play Tetris against 98 other people.
Because I saw Shane, I was like, God, he's really good at this. And then he, like, died at 77. I was like, oh, you're garbage at this.
Because, yeah, you can, like, target other people to take them out, like, if they look like they're doing well. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, apparently Shannon got up to, like, one point, and so suddenly, like, every single person was like, nope. You out.
Mike Drucker, who's a personality and writer that I really, really enjoy, posted as like, in 2018, man, I can't believe Tetris game is one of the best games that came out this year. In 2019, man, I can't believe a Tetris game is one of the best games that came out this year.
Yep, no, that's craziness. Yeah, no, it looks really, really neat. Dead by Daylight coming fall 2019.
That's a game that I really wish we could get into, like, as a group, but not the Switch version. Because this looked bad. Yes. This was an N64 game.
It did not. Like, the gameplay that we got on screen did not look good.
That was
bad. Deltarune Chapter 1. This is from the guys that brought you Undertale.
Mm-hmm.
This one's coming to Switch. Chapter 1 will be free February 28th. Then future chapters are going to cost money.
Yeah.
Daemon X Machina demo is up now.
I meant to download that.
I did too, and I completely forgot about it. They announced Grid Autosport. So I have a realistic racing sim on
the 360,
the Switch, and yeah, no, it absolutely, like, I don't think it looks as good as the original Grid on 360, which is a problem. The Switch can handle better stuff, guys. Just,
I don't know, like, some of the things that we've seen, like WWE is just,
oh yeah,
that was a poorly optimized game.
Yeah. Recently, I bought NBA 2K19 on the Xbox. It was $20, like, it was like $25, but it came with Playgrounds 2. And I bought Playgrounds 2 for Switch, but I was like, well, I got the physical version of that. And then Shannon was like, but you can buy 2K19 on Switch for $18. And I said, hard pass, I'll just play it on my Xbox. Because I'm not playing my Switch for realistic games. I am playing it for...
the Switch games.
Switch games, yeah. Like, Playgrounds is just a...
They've released games that look really good on the Switch. But then you get other games like the 2K games. Like, they're doing bad ports.
Yeah.
And anyway.
And that's what's going to hurt the Switch in the long run.
Yeah, no, we need more. Like, we need games like that, or companies like 2K need to actually put effort into a port,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to just like this. It looks like,
because 2K could just do Playgrounds, put that on the Switch, and those are fun games for the Switch. Like, that's an amazing basketball game for that system.
That really lends itself to the Switch style of, like, just pick up, knock out a game in 5 minutes, and then, oh, now I'm on my bus.
Yeah. But anyway, we still got more stuff with the direct here. We can talk about that later. Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice is coming spring 2019 to the Switch. I think that one's already out on.
Yeah, it's been out for PS4 and Xbox One for a while. That's another game that it's like, why? This doesn't need to be on the Switch. This is an atmospheric, very intense game that.
I mean, for some people,
you have to, like, this is one that you're not going to want to play handheld.
That'd be, yeah, it's true.
Like, unless you're wearing like headphones.
You can still play it, obviously, on, you know, screen and everything, but there's a lot of people that don't have Xbox One and PS4 that do have a Switch, which is awesome to me. But, so I get it. Mortal Kombat 11 is coming to the Switch. We already knew that. The release date, April 23rd, which I'm pretty sure is
the standard release date.
We didn't see much gameplay with it because I am interested to see, like, how different it looks on the Switch.
If it's just the terrible PC port.
Oh, God.
Also, I will get to unload all of this Combat Cast news at some point on all of you.
I'm excited. I'm buying it because you got me on Injustice 2, and now I know I'm buying Mortal Kombat 11 when it comes out.
All right. Unravel 2 was announced March 22nd, coming out on the Switch. It will have, you know, it's a co-op version of Unravel. It's already out
on
PlayStation
systems.
And Xbox. Final Fantasy 7 is coming to the Switch in a port March 26th.
Yes.
Chocobo Mystery Dungeon Everybody is coming to the Switch March 20th. Final Fantasy IX is on the Switch now. Like, you can just grab your Switch, go ahead and buy that game if you want to.
This is the mobile / PC, though. This isn't like the original emulated
Super Nintendo version
or PlayStation version.
PlayStation. Yeah.
So keep that in mind, because apparently a lot of people, like a lot of diehard Final Fantasy IX people, do not like that version.
Fair enough. I hadn't heard
How
anything
does Shannon
about the,
feel about
the
it?
Mobile
Shannon's
version.
Shannon's fine with it, but he, like, you could play that on like a paper towel and he would love it because he just loves that game so much.
Yeah, Final Fantasy IX,
but apparently
is his favorite,
it's like
Final Fantasy.
It redoes the UI and the animation and stuff that a lot of people don't enjoy. So
fair enough. I never played the mobile version. I only played the PlayStation version, so I have no idea how that looks.
Yeah.
Astral Chain was announced, coming out August 30th, 2019.
This
it's,
is that
Platinum
game.
Games.
This looked awesome.
Yeah, it did. Looked really pretty. Looked really fun. Like, I definitely want to check that out. Platinum also confirmed that they're working on Bayonetta 3. And then the last announcement we got, probably the biggest one, the one that made me the happiest in all of this, and that's saying something given that there was a Fire Emblem announcement in this, but Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening is getting remastered for the Switch coming sometime in 2019, which, holy crap, this looked awesome. It's a complete remake of the Game Boy game, Link's Awakening, with just some really neat-looking graphics.
You missed the biggest news.
Always the biggest news.
Assassin's Creed 3 remaster.
Did I not write that down?
That somehow looks worse than the original version.
Oh, it looks like the Vita version. Like, all of it does. I know I saw that, and I just did not.
You wanted to skip it.
I did not type it up.
No. Yeah, because it was, that looked bad.
Yeah, it did. It, basically, the entirety of the Assassin's Creed 3, like, all the DLC, including, like, the Vita game, Liberation, that they eventually ported over to PlayStation, it all, though, looked like the Vita game.
Yeah.
It did not look good.
I can just play that on my Xbox One.
Yeah.
Which, granted, like, it might just be because that game we saw originally on Xbox 360, and we've seen so many good Assassin's Creed games. Maybe it looked like that on 360. I don't remember.
So it couldn't have looked worse. Because if it looked worse, then that's a PS2 game.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like, this is cool for, I guess, fans of the franchise. This is probably the worst Assassin's Creed game they could have picked for the first port to Switch.
Mm-hmm.
They could have given us the Ezio trilogy. That would have been a way better idea.
And it would have sold.
Because Assassin's Creed 3 is easily the least popular game in the franchise.
Yeah.
And that's saying something with Syndicate.
No,
I think is the least favorite.
I think I forgot about Unity.
About to say, but that's only because it was broken.
Yeah.
3 barely passes off that. I love 3. I think 3 is an amazing game, but like, it's not the best one by a long stretch.
Yeah, because Unity, was that the one that was just on Xbox 360 and PS3? Where they
Rogue. Unity was the first one that was on Xbox One. It was the second one. Black Flag was also on Xbox One.
Yeah, they ported Black Flag to Xbox
One.
Yeah, I couldn't remember, because I knew
Unity
was
the dumpster fire.
Because remember, it was Unity and Rogue, and one was on Xbox and PS4, and the other one was on 360 and PS3.
I think Rogue is free right now on 360.
Fair enough. All right. Well, we're out of time here because it's a morning show. We got to open up the studio to the public. So, see you guys next time.